Psalm 119, go ahead with me. We are going to continue our study. If you have been with us for the last month or so, you know that we are looking at an important series, which is how to read the Bible, making the most of the treasure in your hand. And there are a lot of different topics that we could talk about, preach on, struggles that we have. But this is Sunday school, and I want to make this very practical because if we do not understand how to read this book or study it, then all of the other things are going to be a big issue for us. If you cannot get to the treasure, if you don't know how to unlock the chest, then you can't ever get to the treasure. And so these are things that I want to help you in your devotional time, your quiet time with God. You can take the principles we're looking at here and take that right into your daily devotions, and hopefully that enables you to get more out of this awesome supernatural book that we call the Bible, right? So Psalm 119 and verse 18 here has sort of been our theme verse for the last little bit. Brother Nathan, would you mind grabbing some Bibles? I think that maybe there's some that don't have them today, and this is what we come to church for. It is the most important thing that you could possibly bring, and we all need to see the truth of God's Word today. So we'll wait just a second so that everybody has that. Psalm 119 and verse 18 is where we will be. And since we're all looking at the same verse here, let's say it together, okay? We won't bother with the reference, but Psalm 119 verse 18 says this: Open thou mine eyes. Okay, let's try that again, okay? All right, everybody wake up. Everybody wake up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Yeah, there you go. You can do it. All right. Everybody standing. Everybody know what room you're in. Okay, you are at church. Okay, I am Brother Scott. This is not a dream. All right, so, you know, swipe the crusties out of your eyes and let's do this thing, okay? All right. Psalm 119, verse 18, say it with me. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, would you give us wisdom as we study your word today? And I pray, Father, that we would have clarity to see, Lord, to behold, as the verse says. And Lord, may each one that's in this room today, Lord, take great interest in what we're going to talk about. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, you can be seated. You have my permission, if the person next to you falls asleep, to just give them a good whack, okay? That's just for today, okay? So that doesn't stand for always, but today I feel like we need that. Okay, all right, so the thrust of this is, what do I see? That's the question that we're asking, really trying to go beyond just seeing something, but moving to the observation level. Okay, where we're taking great interest in, we wanna pick apart this, and we started that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You can go ahead and turn there, and this is where we left off last time. An important passage of Scripture, a familiar verse, but a verse that is perfect for really bringing into our Bible study some concepts that will help us better understand and digest His Word as we read it. And so we started off by talking about the important terms. What are the important terms in any verse, this verse or any verse that we're studying? And we started off by recognizing, if you were here last week, what was the first important term that we come to in this verse? If you were here last week, this should be pretty clear. Let's see, Elijah. But, yes, very good. It's the very first word. And why is that important, ladies? Lady on this side, why is that first word so important? Yes, Allison. Yes, yeah, right. And what's happening, without looking at your Bibles, I'm tapping into your knowledge here, how much you were listening last week, okay. How many of you could tell me what was happening that's significant? Why? What is he coming off of? What is Jesus coming off of? Why is he referring back to, or what is that which he's just spoken of that has to do with what he's speaking about now. Okay, but after this, you shall receive power. What is he talking about? Elijah? Yeah, yeah. And what was, go ahead and you can look at your Bibles. What was the question coming from the disciples here? Okay, that really has to do with the direction Jesus is going. Ellie? Yeah, right. Is this, you know, Lord Jesus, is this where you're going to establish your kingdom on earth? I mean, are you going to, you take the throne right now and you're just going to dominate and rule and reign? Is that what's happening right now? They were still a little clouded in their thinking. So when we get to verse 8, the Lord Jesus essentially says, no, I'm not doing that, but this is what I'm going to do. Okay, and this is what's going to happen. So right out of the gate, learn to identify key words in our reading. Okay, so we've looked at that already. We don't need to belabor that thought. So terms are extra important. Okay, so then we start talking about asking questions about the people that are represented in the verse. Okay, so go ahead and look at it and tell me, give me some words here that point to people. Okay, what are some words in this verse that are pointing to people? I'm going to give me something. What's the first one we come to? Yes, Ellie? What is it? Ye. Okay, who is ye? Who is ye? Okay, yes. Yeah, the disciples, right? Remember we talked about this. We talked about who is a disciple, right? We asked the question, you know, are we disciples? And there was great confusion. Does everybody remember that? Okay. Yeah, we talked about this a little bit, and it's the idea, okay, ye, he's speaking to a specific group of people here, which was followers of Jesus, followers of him, okay? So these are his disciples, and he will reference them throughout this, you shall receive power, okay? So he's talking specifically here, he's talking to people who had been following him, but is that the only people mentioned in this verse? And if not, who else is mentioned? I'm telling you, Brother Chase, we need to have that button back there, the crickets button. Okay, here, I'll help you out. If you look down at the verse, the answer is there. How many of you say, Brother Scott, I need you to repeat the question? Hands going up everywhere. Okay, all right. Is there anyone else that is referenced in this verse besides the disciples? If you've not answered a question yet, this is the best time to do it. Because you have the answer key in front of you. Ellie, you've already answered a question. Josiah, come on. We're not moving. I'm not moving until somebody who hasn't answered the question answers this question. Don't see anybody else? There's nobody else. There's nobody else mentioned. Yeah. Say it loud. Is that in your Bible? Y'all got a different version this morning? What's going on, all right? And the Holy Ghost, okay? That wasn't supposed to be rocket science, but apparently it is today, all right? I don't know. The clouds are hanging low in the youth room this morning. Okay, yeah, so the Holy Ghost. All right, so we have the disciples, okay? We've identified that. Now we see the Holy Ghost, okay? So let's unpack this, all right? Who is the Holy Ghost? This was not the day for questions, apparently. All right, y'all thought y'all were just going to cruise through Sunday school. Was it? We got a hand. Oh, Nico's going to save us. Yeah, okay, all right. Holy Ghost, a part of the Trinity. All right, what else? What else do we know about the Holy Ghost? Yes. Yeah, yeah, I guess what you're saying there, the three in one. Yeah. Okay, they, yeah. All right, yeah, the Holy Ghost, okay, he abides in who? Let's be more specific, okay? Believers. Okay, all right, believers. Yeah, right, okay. What else do we know? What else do we know? What has Jesus said anything up to this point about the Holy Ghost? Maybe this is a harder question. Josiah? Okay, all right. So he's been described already by Jesus as being the Comforter. The Comforter will come. He keeps telling them that. And here they are now, and Jesus says, okay, I'm going to remind you that remember that person that I talked about? Okay, listen, I'm leaving, okay, but you're going to have the Holy Ghost. So we see... You take what you know about these people, and then you bring it to the interpretation of this verse, and then we gain more clarity, right? So there's the Holy Spirit, but what's the tense involved here? Okay, I don't want to get too grammatical, but you notice at verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Okay, so. Something's going to happen in regards to power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Okay, so the word there, power, and this is where, you know, just having a good Bible dictionary is a great thing. In fact, we have a book table. We didn't do it the last couple of years because of different reasons, but Miss Christina's working on a date that we're going to have a book table. And we've got on that book table, we've got a good Bible dictionary. And this is something really that I think everybody needs. Occasionally, you'll come to a word and you'll say, okay, that's an old English word. I'm not quite sure what that's saying there. Okay, and that's where a Bible dictionary is helpful. I use one as I read the Bible as well. But anyway, you look here and the Bible says, you shall receive power. What's that talking about? The word power there has the idea of dynamic ability. Okay, so this is something outside of the disciples that the Lord is given, is going to give. And he talks about in future reference, this is something that's going to happen in the future. Now, because we know the book of Acts, what event is he referencing here? What event is Jesus talking about here? Okay, if you read, you get into the next few chapters in the book of Acts and we come upon what? What happens there that Jesus is talking about? Pentecost, right? How many of you remember the word Pentecost? Okay, you remember that? Okay, all right, right. That's where the Holy Spirit is given in a supernatural fashion. And from that period on, anybody who received Christ as Savior at the moment of believing then receives the Holy Ghost who lives inside of them, okay? One thing to remember about the book of Acts when you study it, it is a transition book, okay? It's a transition book. Christ is ascending, he gives the Holy Spirit to abide with believers. And that's something we're all recipients of, but in this very powerful way, God gives the Holy Ghost. So we've identified important terms. We've identified those people who are involved. And then notice the Bible also mentions here that ye shall be witnesses. When we study the Bible, we should look for cause and effect relationships. In other words, this happens, so then this will happen. Okay, there's a lot of those in the Bible. In fact, right now, as you read the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of cause and effect statements going on. You do this, and then this is the result. Okay, we see that in the foolish man, we see that in the simple man. We see that in the wise man. That's constantly taking place. So what's happening here? Well, what happens first is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you're going to be filled with dynamic ability. The Holy Spirit is going to be given to you. And then what comes after that according to this verse? What happens after the filling of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit is given unto them? What then? What is the effect that happens? Yes, Elijah? They're going to be witnesses. Okay, so let me ask you this question. I put this back on you because Bible study is not just so you can have some type of knowledge and walk around and say, oh, that's, you know, theologically correct. Okay, Bible study is meant so that we can better understand how to live out our Christian life, right, and serve the Lord. So in taking of these couple of things here, the cause and the effect, noticing that the Holy Spirit indwells us, which enables us to be a witness. Okay, so can a person who does not have Christ in their life be a witness? The answer to this question is no. Okay, not an effective one for certain. And who, you know, if you don't have Christ, if you're not a follower of Christ, who would want to be a witness for Christ anyway? But the importance here is that we see the sequence, and that is to be filled with the Spirit of God to be an effective witness. Okay, let's notice together the end of this verse, because this is something that often gets overlooked, but maybe takes a little bit more time to consider. It says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth." One of the things that I find is fascinating about the end of this verse is that there is a sequence at play here. Okay, now I think that if we were to open up for questioning this morning, okay, what was going on in each of these cities, I think it would probably take us a little while to pull out some things. So we won't do that, but I do want you to notice what is happening. Look at this verse. Hey, look at the last bit as these places are described, and see if you can tell me what the general idea is. I don't want to give too much away here, but can you look at the description of those places and see any type of order at all? I want everybody to look at it, okay? I'm going to choose somebody here in a second, but I want you to look down. I want you to look at these words, because they do have significance as far as why they were listed. Okay, all right, who thinks they have it? Who thinks they have it? Raise your hand again. All right, Allison? Okay, yeah, it gradually broadened. So these people would have been in Jerusalem at the time. Okay, so Herndon. All right, that's that. Ye shall be witnesses to Herndon. Okay, then it goes broader. What does he say? What's after Jerusalem? Somebody say it. Judea. Okay, so now you're talking. This would be like the state of Virginia. Okay, the state of Virginia. All right, then what do you have? What comes after that? Samaria, right? Okay, so this would be like our region, okay, which would be more like, all right, yeah, we could say the United States, you know, of America. And then what does it say? And then it says everywhere. So this is the model that the Lord gave to disciples of Him to reach the world. Okay, so it's not just the uttermost parts. Okay, we have a uttermost parts program here. It's called our Faith Promise Missions. And it's important that we have that. There's a great emphasis that's placed upon that. And we celebrate worldwide missions in a number of ways. We support missionaries all over the world. It's a wonderful thing that anybody can be a part of here at Temple Baptist Church. But that's not all the Lord wants us to do. It starts at home. And it starts with Herndon, Virginia. That's why we have a visitation program and we go out and we try to invite people. We are trying to follow the sequence that the Lord gave us as followers of Him. So we reach Herndon, we reach Virginia. So let me ask you this. How can we as a church reach Virginia? What are some ways that we as a church could reach Virginia? Yeah, Melanie. Okay, all right. We'd probably have to carve out a little bit more time for visitation if we wanted to reach the far reaches of Virginia, but yes. Okay, all right. Giving of resources to support maybe reaching Virginia in other ways. I'll tell you one thing that I've heard Pastor talk about, and if we can get moved and that building built, one of the things that he would like to do is plant a church. There are a number of churches that are around us that have done a lot of work to plant other ministries in other parts of Virginia. That's a way that we can reach Virginia. You say, how do you reach the United States? Well, you can support evangelists, right? Do evangelists travel? They certainly do. Okay, you can support church planners to America. There's a lot of different ways that you can do this, and certainly working out, you then get to the uttermost. And certainly we have a program for that. So you say, and this kind of goes back to why does the church do what it does? Because we're told to operate a certain way. The Lord gave us a plan to reach people. And he did it in a clear way. And we see it here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So we see the significance of even these cities, the region, and the geographical locations of what was given to us here. Okay, we only have a few minutes left, but what I want to do is I just want to introduce our next aspect of study that we'll get to next week, and we're not going to have a lot of time to develop this here, but nonetheless, if you would, go ahead to Mark chapter 2 and verse 25 is where we will be looking. Just briefly plant this seed thought in your mind, and then we'll be done for today. But Mark chapter 2 and verse 25, you know, when we think about studying the Bible, you know, it's certainly important that we identify terms, people, you know, we ask some questions about what we are reading. But it's also important for us to be in the habit of reading. And I think this is assumed, but sometimes we struggle to read. And Mark chapter 2 and verse 25, you'll see a statement that Jesus actually repeats several times. Look at what it says in verse 25. And he said unto them, have ye never read what David did? When he had a need, he goes on to describe that. In Matthew chapter 21, we won't turn there, verse 45, he asks the question again. In the book of Luke, he asks the same question. Have ye not read? Have ye not read? And, you know, sometimes people read the Bible and they walk away saying, well, I don't think I've gotten much out of it. And sometimes it's because the way that they are reading, right? And that's the whole point of what we've been talking about. But this is especially a challenge for the day that we're living in. You know, really in the last 100 years, we've moved from emphasis upon reading to an emphasis on seeing. In other words, we are much more visual today than we have ever been. Okay, reading the newspaper, you know, that sort of thing. It's, you know, we do a lot of that online today, but certainly the attention span of all of us has been diminished because we have so many cool things to look at. We have, you know, graphic designers. We've got people who do amazing movies and graphics and things like that. It's just there's so much to captivate our thinking that we have become less of a reader as we've ever been. And that's a problem because when it comes to the Bible, you're not going to get just the picture of you know what's happening by chapter by chapter. Okay, it's not going to be a comic book setting, although they do make a comic book Bible. You're just not going to get it. Okay, you're not going to be able to look at a picture and get everything that God is trying to communicate to us. So we have to read, and we have to work at it. So there's some categories by how we can read. that we're going to look at next week. Our time is gone. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that we would not miss, Lord, the significance of it. I pray, Father, you'd help each one as they study your word this week, Lord, to be mindful of the terms, the people, Lord, the places that are mentioned. Lord, I pray that you would help us to, in a world that is so visual, Lord, not to be lazy in that regard. Cut corners, Father, when it comes to reading your word. May we, Father, examine it. May we observe it well. Lord, may we thoughtfully approach your word in a way that allows the Spirit of God to take those words and apply it to our situation. Lord, I pray that every single teenager in this room this week would give your word the time it ought to have in our lives. And Lord, that you would speak to them. Lord, thank you for speaking to us. And thank you, Lord, for the chance we have to hear from you. In your name we pray. Amen.